Good morning. I saw something here recently. I was a little bit shocked by it. But I read it on the internet, so it has to be true, I guess. But it says that the average adult makes an average of 35,000 choices each and every day. 35,000. Now that starts from the moment you get up and decide, do I want to get up right now or do I want to hit the snooze button once or twice? So what am I going to wear for the day? Do I want breakfast or just coffee? And so on. And these are the choices that we make on a personal level. And then there are choices that come at us from outside of our personal lives. You know, if you drive in Ohio, you're used to the road construction and the road construction warning signs. And if you see a sign up ahead that says, lane closed, expect delays, well, now you have a choice. Do you want to find another route around this, or are you the patient type and you can just wait it out in traffic? And then we get some choices that they don't really leave us with much of a choice. If you come across a sign that says road closed, bridge out, at this point you pretty much have to choose another route. Well, I guess you could, you don't have to, I guess you could continue down that road that says bridge out, but you're going to find yourself in a bad situation. But that is the truth. You know, how many times do we find ourselves in a bad place because of bad choices that we've made? But if we watch for and we can see the signs of what's coming, that, you know, that helps us make right choices, or makes the right choices easier to see. However, sometimes even still, we don't get a clear warning sign of what's ahead. Sometimes our choices have to come from some place we've already been. You know, maybe you did drive right past that bridge out sign and find yourself out with wheels hanging over the edge of nothing. So now you're in a bad place. So, you know, or have, has anybody out there ever snapped at their husband or their wives? Or maybe snapped at your children or one of your friends? You know, they catch you at a bad moment and you just lash out at them. And then after a while you begin to realize what you did and you start to regret it. It starts to eat at you and you start to feel bad. I just said sometimes your choices come from some place you've already been, and this is where I was going with that, and that is that we have a conscience, and that our conscience plays a big part in our, just in our personal lives, but also in our spiritual lives. I think it's here with our conscience that God begins to work with us, and it's where he uses that to begin to call us out of the world we are living in. So we have to guard our conscience, and we have to place value on our conscience, because it's with our conscience that we begin to recognize the bad choices that we've made in our lives, and it's where we begin to recognize that sin is sin. I also think it's our conscience is the point that God starts, or where our point of conversion in our life starts, is with our conscience. And that's what I want to look at today, with the importance of our conscience. And I don't want to cause any confusion with this, because, you know, I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying that the conscience is the ultimate authority of what is right and wrong or good and bad. You know, all of us, our conscience is shaped by our backgrounds, our upbringings, by our friends, our family. So that our conscience can make mistakes. You know, if we're letting the wrong things into our mind regularly, your conscience can become confused and it can make mistakes. But what our conscience does is it holds us accountable to the highest standard of right or wrong that we personally can recognize. The ultimate authority on right and wrong and good and bad has to come from God and God's Word. And I want us to keep this in mind as we look at this subject of our conscience. When using God as the ultimate authority, our conscience is a guide to the choices that we need to make. Now, I'm sure you remember the first thing that Adam and Eve did when they sinned. First thing they did was hide. They didn't want to face God. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Have you ever went into, say, a prayer and maybe thought, no, I bet God just doesn't want to hear from me right now. I didn't have the best day and maybe I should wait and pray a little later. Well, that's our conscience. That's our conscience showing us that we have not lived up to what we need to live up to, and we let that get in there and get in our way. And when we are born, and I guess I don't know the best way to say this other than to just say that we are born neutral. We are not born neither good or bad. But it's the choices that we make as we grow and as we develop that make us into what we are. And if we follow our conscience, you know, we will be on track to make better choices. A conscience is something that God gives us. And sometimes I wonder if that conscience is something that is just unique to us as humans. You know, there have been times where I have wondered if any of the fallen angels had ever regretted what they had done. But, you know, when I look through my Bible and I tried to look some of that up, there's no evidence, there's nothing written in our Bible of any angel ever asking for forgiveness. So I'm just curious if a conscience is something that is unique to us. And we may get a hint to that answer in James. James 1:13 says this, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire." It says that God cannot be tempted by evil. And, you know, why is this? Well, that's because God, by His nature, is all good. There is no evil in Him. So to me, it would appear that, you know, the good angels have made the choice and that the good angels have always been good. And then, you know, the demons, once they have made that choice to sin, they will always be evil. So it appeared to me that, you know, the angels are not looking back over their shoulders, you know, thinking maybe I shouldn't have done that. You know, so then maybe the conscience is something that is just unique to us, that God has given us as a tool for us to use to help process right from wrong and good from evil, and then to begin the process of calling us out of this world. I think He also uses it as a way to measure us. He wants to check and see how we are responding to our conscience. And then He uses that to call us into a relationship with Him. If you would, let's look in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. Verse 36 says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You know, the people cried out, "What should we do?" Their conscience was torn. They knew what they had done, and it was getting to them. And then that torn conscience was used to call them to repentance. And then at that point, into a relationship with God. Our conscience is a gift from God and a tool that is used to call us into a relationship with Him. So naturally, Satan wants to destroy that. I saw this recently. It's a recent study, and I thought this was also interesting. The study says our conscience, especially a guilty conscience, is bad for your health and should be ignored and rejected. And some professionals, I guess, in psychology and psychiatry, some are saying that a guilty conscience is a sign of poor mental health. And that getting rid of your conscience is the foundation for your good mental health. It's just the opposite of what we think. So, you know, where does God, or where do we think that this type of thinking will lead? Well, if we eliminate our conscience, we eliminate the possibility to repent. And when we eliminate the need for repentance, we eliminate the need for a Savior. And if we eliminate the need for a Savior, well, then we eliminate the need for salvation. And if this sounds familiar, this is where the atheist movement comes from. A clear conscience means there's no one that you have to answer to. But without a conscience, we can undermine the entire gospel message. So really, it's our duty to guard our conscience. If you would, turn to 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences has been seared as with a hot iron. This is your atheist movement. These teachings. A conscience that is seared is one that it's been hardened. That's what happens when the restraint of our conscience has been removed. It is hardened. If we allow our conscience to be hardened by ignoring it, we'll lose the need to repent. And when we no longer feel the need to repent, well, then that can lead to the unpardonable sin. So then just what role does our conscience play? Well, it acts as a witness. It also acts as a judge, and it convicts us. If you would look in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, 14 and 15. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves. Even though they do not have the law, they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them and at other times defending them. Notice it says their conscience bears witness against them. You know, your conscience brings to mind as a witness the things that you have said or that you have done. But it doesn't stop there. It also acts as a judge. Paul says their thoughts sometimes accusing them and at other times defending them. And if we listen to our conscience then, it convicts us. Our conscience is so important to our conversion process because when we violate our conscience, it acts as a witness against us and we begin to regret what we have done. Then it judges us. It tells us what we did wrong. And then it will convict us, and it tells us, hey, stop what you're doing, change what you're doing. The world tells us to reject our conscience for better mental health. The fact is, following your conscience can lead to peace and a better sense of well-being. Brethren, we need to guard our conscience. We need to respect it. We need to listen to it. We need to put it to use. That special tool that God has given us to call us into a relationship with Him. Our conscience helps bring about the changes that we need to make to be a part of God's family. Have a good Sabbath.